Good morning. Get your Bibles and open to Galatians chapter 4. When it comes to our relationship with God, there never seems to be any middle ground. We're either for Him or against Him. We're either cold or hot. We're either devoted to Him or we're uncommitted to Him. Those are the choices we have to make. We can be hot or cold in our relationship with Him at times. At times we get away from God. At times we are not close to Him. But Paul gives us this word in Galatians chapter 4 about the uniqueness of grace. We can either come to Him by grace or come to Him by the law. But God clearly teaches us that only one of those ways will work. The only acceptable way to approach God is by grace through faith. It is the only way God makes available to us to come into a relationship with Him, is grace through faith of Jesus Christ. Many people try to get there by good works. Many people try to get there by giving money to the church. Many people try to get there by other means. But we see in the Word of God, there is no other way to heaven except Jesus Christ. Amen. By placing our faith in Him and what He did on the cross is the only way we can get to heaven. To make this point, Paul writes to the Galatians using an imperative technique known as an allegorical method. This technique is used when a historical account is given and the interpreter takes the different characters or objects in the story and gives them a meaning other than that's clearly expressed. For instance, I might tell you a story about our dog Luca, and it belongs to my daughter. His name is Luca, and his adventures in the neighborhood. Let's suppose that Luca got out of the backyard, ran down the street, crossed the barrier that they have around their yard. They have a electric fence all the way around their yard, and those dogs get out occasionally. They run after a rabbit or they run after a squirrel, and they'll pass that barrier. Suppose he was hit by the neighbor's pickup truck and died. If I were to use an allegorical method, I might say that Luca represented of all the people who yearn for freedom, that the street is representative of a lifelong journey towards freedom. The pickup truck represents all who would try to keep us from enjoying freedom. And the death of the dog was simply a sad ending to the story. I think you get the picture. The allegorical method takes tremendous liberty with a historical account and tries to find a hidden or obscure meaning not readily visible to the average reader. In Paul's day, that was perfectly acceptable, if not preferred, means of interpreting by those who were rabbis. Paul uses this technique to describe to us the uniqueness of grace by examining the historical account of God's promise to Abraham to give him a son. God had promised Abraham that he would give him a son, but God didn't act immediately on that promise, leading Abraham and his wife Sarah to begin doubting if the promise was true. Even Sarah even laughed at God. She said, "There's no way possible I'm going to have a child." That, my friend, is not what God intended. They were both getting old, with Sarah well past childbearing years, so they decided to bypass God in the process to get their much desired son. They cease believing in God's promise and place their faith in their own flesh. Sarah convinced Abraham to lie with their slave girl Hagar and have a child by her. In Abraham's culture, this was acceptable practice, very similar to what we do today when a surrogate mother is hired to carry someone else's child. He went into Hagar to have a son. He did not trust God to give Sarah a child. So they ran before God. They tried to have a child. They waited year after year after year, and they were getting older and older and older, and they thought, we're never going to be able to have a child. So Sarah convinced Abraham to lie with Hagar and have a child by her. Hagar had a child and named him Ishmael. Although he was Abraham's son, he would still be considered a slave because he was born to a slave woman. 14 years after the birth of Ishmael, Sarah gave birth to the child God had promised her. And Abraham named his name Isaac. He was miraculously conceived based on the promise that God had made. Now, with all that said, let's see how Paul uses this historical account as an allegory to make his point about grace. In Galatians chapter 4, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 21 through 31. The Bible says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning that you've given me, Lord, to bring this lesson to these people here at Ephesus. We pray, Father, that you would bless this word as only you can. Bless the going out of your word into the ears of those that hear. And bless them to have ears to hear this morning. For God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who went to the cross willingly to die for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for us being free today because of that sacrifice he made on the cross. We thank you, we bless you, we praise you for in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Sarah represents grace and freedom, while Hagar represents the law and slavery. The bottom line is this: which one of these are we going to choose? It has to be one or the other. There's no in between. I'm going to list for you the choices that God will want us to make this morning as we go through this lesson in the scripture in Galatians. I want you to repeat after me. I choose freedom and reject slavery. I choose freedom and reject slavery. All of us here this morning that are Christians have chosen freedom. We've chose to give our hearts to Christ and give our lives to Him, which has made us free from the sin and death and the law. We chose that when we gave our hearts to Christ. We rejected slavery. Hagar and her son represent slavery, while Sarah and her son represent freedom. The choice is between grace and the law, life and death, freedom and bondage. Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by a free woman. The point he is making is that Hagar, the slave wife, was slavery, was chosen for Ishmael. Through Sarah, the freedom wife, freedom was chosen for Isaac. Now, if you had the choice, and you do not have the choice, what choice would you make? Would you choose to be free, or would you choose to be a slave? Would you choose freedom, or would you choose bondage? Would you choose to live under grace, or would you choose to live under the law? I suspect everyone here this morning would choose not to live under slavery, not to live under the law, not to live under bondage, but to live under the freedom that Christ offers freely to everyone here. Amen. Listen, my friend, God gives us two choices to make. We can either accept Him or reject Him. We can either be hot or we can be cold. We can obey Him or we can disobey Him. Those are the choices we make. When we come under the law, we come to Christ the wrong way. When we try to find freedom under the law, we come the wrong way. We must find our freedom through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide freedom. Listen, if we choose grace, we will experience the liberty that only comes to those who follow God's plan and accept the gift of His Son. Now, we've been talking about this concept of freedom for a number of weeks, and I don't want to be redundant, but I know that some of you may have been raised in a legalist environment. And while what we've been saying makes sense to you intellectually, you've been trained to think in a legalist manner, so you've chosen to be enslaved, though it makes no logical sense. Listen, people that are raised in a legalist society believe they gotta live a certain way, do a certain thing, and act a certain way to be accepted by God. That's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that we live as free people. We live under grace. We don't have to follow a certain set of rules and regulations, though we do follow God's Word. Right. We follow God's Word, and that is what we follow to get our freedom. We follow God's Word. In the movie Shawshank Redemption, Red, a longtime prisoner, talks of prisoners become institutionalized, unable to cope with life outside the rigid structure of prison. The movie shows an old man named Brooks who, upon release after decades of imprisonment, can't handle freedom, and he hangs himself. Red later faced the same choice in the same place. Choose to live and discover how to enjoy freedom with his friend Andy. I liken this to those who choose to stay in the legalist system. While freedom in Christ looks like a good thing, they instead return to the religious prison that they brought up in or have been accustomed to. When I ask you to do is be willing to let the Lord speak to your heart. Allow God's Holy Spirit to lead you as you read His Word and what He has to say. The change is not going to happen overnight. It will take time. Just give the Lord the permission to reveal His will to you outside the legalist construct that you have been confined to. Allow Christ to work in your heart, to show you the freedom that is offered by Him, to show you that grace is freely given, to show you that you're not under the law anymore, to show you that you're not under bondage anymore, to show you that you are not confined to do certain things and act a certain way. God wants you to come to Him just as you are.
Amen.
God accepts people just as they are. He accepts them, He embraces them, and He gives them eternal life. Listen, too many people think they have to clear their act up. They have to clean their act up. They have to act a certain way. They have to do a certain thing to be ever accepted by God. God said, come as you are.
Amen.
Come just as you are. I'll accept you with your sin. I'll accept you with your failures. I'll accept you with all your flaws. And I'll accept you and make you a new person.
Amen.
He'll completely make you completely change. Listen. Secondly, I want you to repeat after me. I choose God's promise and reject my flesh. I'll say it again. I choose God's promise and reject my flesh. Listen. Again, we're faced with a choice. I can either believe that what God's promised me is true, or I can place my trust in my own efforts. This is what happened to Abraham and Sarah. God promised them that they would have a child, even though Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s. I want to get you to get a good picture of this in your mind. Think of the oldest people that you have ever known, perhaps your grandparents or your great-grandparents. Now picture them as they were or are as old as you've seen them in the present time. Now think about what reaction would be if Grandma and Grandpa told you that God had clearly told her that she was going to become pregnant. Think about that. What would you think if somebody 85 to 90 years old told you they were going to have a child? What would you think? You would think that was impossible. That would never happen. How could that happen? Well, that's what Sarah thought. Sarah laughed at God when He told her she would have a child. She said, I'm past childbearing ages. I can't have a child. So what did Abraham do? Abraham went into a slave girl, young slave girl, to have a child by her. Listen, my friend, this is where they got in a pickle. They got in a problem when they went into Hagar. Listen, if this older person had told you she was going to become pregnant, she might begin to wonder if she had been dreaming or something. I'm sure that something along those lines happened to Abraham and Sarah. And so they decided to take matters into their own hand. Look in Galatians 4:23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. God had made a promise to Abraham and Sarah, but the promise seemed too good to be true. So Abraham and Sarah decided that they would make the promise come true by their own effort. In effect, what they were doing was deciding to take over for God because they either didn't believe in the promise or perhaps they thought that God didn't know what he was doing. This is the same thing that happens to those who try to reach God by keeping of some external law or by doing good works. God has promised us that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. Amen. But how many people do you know today are trying to get there through Buddha, through Muhammad, through any other avenue other than Jesus Christ? All kinds of people are trying to get to heaven by their own means, by giving money, by doing good works, by being something that they are not capable of being, by doing something that they think is going to make them acceptable to God. Listen, you could not live good enough to be acceptable to God. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God before we come to Jesus. We can't clean ourselves up enough. We can't do enough. We can't be good enough to be acceptable to God. Only through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he bestows upon us, that God gives us that grace. Listen, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through your faith. By grace, God's unmerited favor, are you saved? You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't do anything to get it. Only through God's amazing grace, through your faith, can you be a child of God. Some think that the promise is too good to be true. It was inconceivable to Abraham and Sarah as a 90-year-old couple to become parents. And so what happens? They make a human attempt to fulfill God's promise by trying to reach God through rules and regulations. But God will fulfill his own promise in a way he had chosen, and that is by grace through faith. I choose, and I hope you choose with me, to accept God's promise on God's terms and reject my own human effort. Thirdly, I want you to say this with me. I choose heaven and reject the world. I choose heaven and reject the world. Listen, my friend, all of us have a choice to make. We are either going to choose heaven or choose hell. We're going to either choose heaven and the grace that is offered through Jesus Christ, or we're going to reject that and end up in the devil's hell. Those are the choices we'll make. Cynthia Thomas tells the story about her brother and his wife. My brother, she says this, my brother and his new wife were escorted to the bridal suite in an elegant hotel in the wee hours of the morning. They were tired from the many hours at the wedding reception and from mingling with their guests. They took a look around the room, taking in the sofa, chairs, and table. But where was the bed? This was the bridal suite. Then they discovered the sofa was a hide-a bed, complete with a lumpy mattress and springs sagging to the floor. My brother and his new wife spent a fitful night on a hide-a-bed, waking up with some sore backs. The next morning, the new husband went to the front desk and gave the management a tongue-lashing for giving them such a horrible bridal suite. Did you open the door in your room? Was the response. When my brother went back up to the room, he opened a door that he had thought was a closet. There, complete with fruit baskets and chocolate, was a beautiful bedroom with a bed. They tried to make it on their own without opening all the doors. How many times have you tried to make it on your own without going through the door God opened? How many times have you tried to make it on your own without going through the door God had opened? Many times we miss God's blessing because we're afraid to step out in faith. Many times we miss God's blessing because we're afraid to go through that open door and that closed door. We're afraid what'll be behind it. We're afraid there'll be a monster behind it. We're afraid there'll be a curse behind it. We're afraid there'll be something we can't stand behind it. So we refuse to go through that door when all along God might have the best in store for you behind that closed door. Listen, those that live by the law are like that couple. They have trouble finding the great promises that God has for them because they are so focused on the here and now, they can't see the there and then. They are focused on this earth. They cannot see heaven that is just beyond the door. Continuing his allegory, Paul writes in verse 24 through 26, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Paul points out that there are two covenants, two Jerusalem, two ways of responding to God. Again, we have a choice to make. Do we choose the way of the free woman, the way of grace, the way of heaven, or do we choose this world and choose to focus on things of this world instead of on God's gift of eternal life? I can tell you many people are choosing this world. They're choosing the riches of this world. They're choosing the good houses of this world. They're choosing the things of this world. As I rode by the golf course coming into church this morning, hundreds of people were out there playing golf instead of in God's house. What did they choose? They choose the world. They chose to play golf this morning instead of coming to God's house to feast on God's word. Many people are at the lake today, swimming, boating, fishing. They're choosing the world instead of coming to God in his house. Listen, my friend, we all have a choice to make. Revelation 21, verse 2 says this, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the Jerusalem that we are to focus on. We choose heaven and reject the world. Lastly, I choose life and reject death. Say it with me. I choose life and reject death. Listen. When you come to Christ, he automatically, once you accept him as Lord and Savior, he gives you eternal life. Does that mean the people in hell will not have eternal life? Certainly they will. They'll burn for all eternity. They'll suffer for all eternity. But we as Christians will enjoy the pleasures of heaven forevermore. We'll never get sick. We'll never get tired. We'll never grow old. We will live throughout all eternity praising our Savior and basking in the love that God has for us. Jesus lays out the choice for us in John 3:36. He says this, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Those are the choices we have to make. Are we going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Are we going to accept the world? Are we going to accept life? Are we going to accept death? Listen, the legalists of Paul's day, as well as our own, are still living under the wrath of God because they refuse to trust in Jesus Christ. Through their choice of trying to follow the law instead of God, of trying to follow their own flesh instead of believing in God's promise, of choosing to focus on this life instead of the future life offered to us, they're choosing to disbelieve in the Son of God. Yet, if they will only place their trust in Christ, they can say with each of us, I choose life and reject death because I believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only way you're going to find eternal life is through Jesus Christ and His blood that He shed on Calvary. That is the only way we will ever come into a relationship with God. Listen, Paul then summarizes all he has said in verses 28 through 31. The Bible says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Listen, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, that's where the Muslims come from. And what are the Muslims doing today? They're against God's people. They're against the Jews. They're against the freedom that we have in Christ. They're against everything we stand for. Listen, my friend, of choosing to focus on life, they choose death. Listen, in conclusion, what can we say in response to all this? In Christ, I'm a child of the promise, born of the Holy Spirit, and acceptable to God. If we keep reminding ourselves of this truth, we are well on our way to understand and living out the uniqueness of grace. It is only through the grace of God can we be redeemed from the curse of the law and death. It is only through Jesus Christ can we find the freedom that God offers to us in the Word of God. Through Christ only and through His shed blood only can we find true fulfillment of the promises of God and the peace that God offers all of His children. I was reading an article this week that said, how can we find peace in this troubled world we live in today? I've commented this. True peace can only be found through giving your heart to Jesus Christ and submitting your cares to Him, and putting all your burdens, all your cares, all your worries on the foot of the cross. Amen. That is the only way you can find true peace in this life. True peace can only be found through Jesus Christ. True joy can only be found through Jesus Christ. True happiness can only be found through Jesus Christ. These things are what Paul is trying to get across to us, that there is no other way that you can find. You can't find it through the law. You can't find it by giving money. You can't find it by living a good life. You can't find it by doing good deeds. You can only find it by giving your life to Jesus Christ, by submitting to Him, by being an heir with the free woman and an heir with Isaac to the very throne of God. That, my friend, is the only way we can find true freedom in this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. We pray, Father, that I've explained it in a way that everyone can understand the word this morning, that it is all about Jesus, that He went to the cross, that He died, shed His blood, paid our sin debt so that we could be free, so that we would not have to be in bondage, and so that we would not have to be under the law any longer. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your Son dying on the cross that we might be free. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.